Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Howdy, folks. You have to bear with me because I'm a little bit shimmeled, as they say. Obviously, something really terrible happened this evening, and I will talk about that in a moment. Right now, I'm working on my technology. You can probably tell if you listen to the show frequently, I am speaking to you from my cell phone rather than from my fancy-schmancy laptop-based studio. And yet, I also played back my little intro there. Typically only happens when I have my fancy-schmancy laptop-based studio available. What has happened is, for some reason, Skype has lost my password. And I don't remember what it is, because I only ever put it in once, and then I told the computer to remember it. So I asked it to retrieve my password for me, and it sent it to my Motto Sasquatch Gmail account, which I haven't been able to access for some time because Gmail changed their interface, and it always defaults to my other Gmail account, which is under my birth name, and I have not yet been able to figure out how to switch to the different account. Every time I try and get on Gmail, it always takes me to my account that's under my birth name, and I can't figure out how to get it to forget that and take me to the other account. So my Skype password is lost in infinity somewhere. We'll have to address that during the week. Just wasn't time to do it in the minutes before the show started. So here I am. You have to put up with my cell phone. Sorry about that. And it's been a bad night, obviously. Not the first one we've had. I'm quite certain it's not going to be the last. And I'm not, well, first of all, I should preface this before I start saying anything. Nothing I say about this event should be construed as a defense of the people who killed people tonight. There is no defense. You don't kill people. It's an indefensible act, and I wouldn't try to defend it. So, but I know someone's going to listen to this show, and they're going to come back at me and says, "Well, you're defending them." No, I'm not. I am not defending killing in any way. Okay. Anyway, I'm not saying it's defensible. I'm saying what's been happening recently is something that's been a long time coming, something that we certainly should have seen coming, something that I think the power elite in this world did see coming and are playing it to their advantage. I don't know exactly how. If I did, I would probably be dead. As they say, as conspiracy theorists say. This is really not the way I wanted to start this topic. I don't know why I just jumped into that crap. But I think my Western European brothers and sisters have had things their own way for a long time. Many, many centuries we've had things our own way. Now that started to turn around, and we don't like it, not one little bit. And we want to seek out the people who are responsible for it, or the people we imagine are responsible for it, and we want to stamp them out. If we look at history, that approach doesn't work. It's never worked. And every empire in history has fallen exactly the same way that the empire of Americans and Western Europeans is starting to fall now. This thing has started to get a little bit fuzzy at the edges. And then points of resistance started to appear within the depths of the great empires, and in the central points where all the action happened. That's what's happening to us now, whether it's New York City or Paris, or London had an attack, if I'm remembering correctly. Spain, there was one in Spain not too long ago. Saudi Arabia, there are many, not a Western European country, but certainly a point of emphasis for Western Europeans, a place where a lot of Western European interests are headquartered. So I think our, shall we see it, say, obsession with defeating the terrorists, war on terror, is, I want to say, misplaced, but that's not the word I want to use. Obviously, you know, stopping people from killing people is a worthwhile endeavor, so misplaced is not the word. Perhaps it's our rage that's misplaced. There's a healthy portion of our rage that we should direct at our ancestors for having stirred up this pot in the first place. And as to what to do about it, I mean, there'll be lots of opinions advanced in the elections that are coming up, most of which will involve the employment of young men to go halfway around the world and destroy things and kill people. As if that's, I mean, the recruiting angle right now is, the Americans and the Europeans, they came here in antiquity and they stole our treasure, they raped our women, and they left us desolate. They left us with nothing. And now they're coming back again to do the same thing. And when we go over there with our bombers and our tanks and our guns, it simply provides under the... See, here they are, just like we said. Now, that's horseshit. Of course it's horseshit. But it can play rather easily in the ears of someone who's starving. In the ears of someone whose children have no opportunity, because their treasure, the treasure of their ancestors, the treasure of their land, has been removed and stockpiled in another place. So anyway, that's my radical speech for this evening. And again, no defense intended for anyone who killed anyone tonight or any other night. I can observe it and I can understand it without defending it. And that's so many in the sort of black and white thinking that we're asked to engage in now, for us or against us, life or death. You know, I can understand it. I can see what has happened. I can describe what has happened. I can know why people of my skin color are hated by people of other skin colors. I know how that happened, and I think any intelligent person is being disingenuous if they say they don't understand how that happened. I hate to make broad and sweeping statements like that, but I guess I just did. So, I think for a thinking person to say they don't know, they don't realize why these awful things have been happening, the same type of awful things that have been happening to the perpetrators for centuries. And I also, I mean, don't ever make the mistake of believing the American empire can't fall. Every empire has fallen. You know, the Soviet empire being the most recent. But, you know, the Roman empire, the Greek empire, the Phoenician empire, all empires all throughout antiquity have reached a zenith. And then been overpowered when other interests became ascendant, when other interests outside of the dominant one became able to defend themselves and to survive. And this to be done in ways that that the dominant culture would say were unfair. And yet, General Sherman used very similar tactics to ISIS's tactics on the March to the Sea. The Minutemen used similar tactics against the British during the Revolutionary War. And of course, they've always been, it's just not, you know, not civilized. They're actually defending themselves. They're actually not just marching up and being killed by us. So you take four airliners and use those as your weapons. And your attack, just as these attacks, these last two attacks in Paris, there's one I was in a car listening to CNN on the radio when the Je Suis Charlie thing happened. It's the same thing, you know. They said, and what I tell you, what really, I'm going to abandon that sentence right away. It's not what really aggravates me about this. What really aggravates me about this is that a bunch of people got killed. What's interesting to note is the American media's willingness to give ISIS precisely what they wanted out of all this, which is 4 hours of American news people speaking in grave and hushed tones about what ISIS just did to us. Exactly, precisely, the purpose of these attacks, whether it's CNN or Fox News or any of the various outlets here, the various network outlets, just falling all over themselves to do the bidding of the terrorists. And then show a commercial. I saw commercials in the midst of their terror coverage. We'll show you the beheading right after this. Who was it? Somebody was it says that the revolution will be televised or it won't be televised. I think it will be televised. And I think the contract will go to the highest bidder. So, on that cheerful note, I didn't say when I came on board here that this is Mudtoe at Midnight, and I'm your host, Mudtoe Sasquatch. And you shouldn't email me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com because I can't get that account anymore. I'll come up with something. I'm sitting here trying. I'm sorry, I'm getting these big pauses because while I'm talking, I'm trying to think, how am I going to? Because there's no way to do it. They change. And this devils me all the time. I get used to my software and it's doing what I want, and then Microsoft or whoever stops supporting it, and I have to put on a new one. And I've usually missed two or three generations anyway. And then I can't figure out what to do, how to do any of the things that I need to do. And evidently, the minds of the younger generation must work differently from mine, because, you know, these things are here, and obviously, I mean, there's no mass uproar. There aren't millions of people saying, my God, this doesn't work. So am I really the only person in the world who has two Gmail accounts and would like to look at the other one? Is it possible? I mean, it was from the time I started at the Gmail, it latched on. It was the first one I used was the one that was under my birth name when I got this new computer. First one I used. And ever since then, my computer has just latched onto it. It's what comes up when I click Gmail. It doesn't even give me the opportunity to sign into any account. It just takes me. It doesn't ask for a password. It just takes me directly to the Gmail account with my birth name on it, and there's nothing I've been able to find so far that gives me the opportunity to switch. But I'm going to have to find that. He said that I'm going to have to shut down my Skype account and start another one because my password is hidden somewhere, and I can't get to it. Now, my other option, Log Talk has, they call it a direct connect option. And I've tried it once before. Well, you don't have to call in. You can just, you're on your computer and you click the button and you speak into their interface just using the computer without a phone. I used it once before and it was pretty bad. The sound quality, there was a lot of, it's kind of like we used to, on the older cell phones, you'd talk to somebody who was going into a tunnel. You'd lose it and it would come back a little bit and you lose it. It's kind of that picket fencey kind of feel. Yeah, so I've never tried it since. Now, that's been probably 2 years ago. So it's possible that improvements have been made. What I wanted to do, because this would take the whole telephone issue out of it, I would just need to have internet, which is a problem in and of itself for me. But if I could arrange with Chief Iggy to do a test sometime to get like 10 minutes of airtime when no one else is using the computer, because you can only, for some reason, only one person can use it during any day. And I think the only day, well, there's not always a show on Wednesday, and there's not always a show on Sunday. So perhaps that's the window. Perhaps I could extend my show, the time that I reserve for my show on Saturdays, do the regular show for 30 minutes, then disconnect my phone, come back and see what it sounds like on the direct connect. The possibilities are limitless. Not limitless, but anyway, as I'd started to say before I got off on this tangent, I think I'd started with Mudto Sasquatch, and this is Mudto at Midnight, and we are on the withinsightsradio.com channel of blogtalkradio.com. So you come to blogtalkradio.com, you find the With Insights Radio subdivision, I guess, and you can find our various shows there. Or you can go to withinsightsradio.com, the website, and there's information there. Also, the other shows you'll hear on this channel, really probably, I'd have to say, quite a bit different from mine, particularly Chief Iggy's show on Monday with David Two Crows. And I'm not sure if Adriana Arts has joined that cast permanently or if she was just a guest last week, but she's pretty cool too. And they do mainly readings. And then there's a Tuesday afternoon talk show. That was the show I just talked about was on Monday evenings. There's a Tuesday afternoon coffee clatch show. Wednesday night is shared by a number of different personalities. Thursday used to be a throwback show, but I don't know if that's still going or not. Friday morning is Mark the Rabbit Hole with our astrology associate. So my show tends to be pretty concentrated on spoken word, which is my modality, written and spoken word. Not big on readings. I just kind of say what's on my mind. Don't do a lot of preparation, as you can see. I get an idea saying, let's see, usually sometime during the show, because I was going to talk, I see here on my little blurb, I said that I was going to talk about my book project. And I have not said a word about that. Usually I do this, I have to type all that in when I'm reserving my time. And generally, of course, at that point, I have no real clue what it is that I'm going to be talking about. It's sometimes, just like tonight, events take over, something happens, and that becomes what the show is about. Other times, just another idea occurs to me before I go on the air, and that becomes what the show is about. I realize I have missed Shaman Tarot for the last couple of weeks. I'll have to make sure I pick that up again next week. Don't really know where I wanted that thread to go. I think I just was just passing on information. That was an informational thread. And I'm pretty sure I got you all the information I'm going to get you. There we are. I don't know, should I talk about that book thing? Something you hear quite a bit from me is this book I've been working on for so long. And my friend David Two Crows finished his book, and I felt that would light a fire under me, and it didn't really. When my brother published his first short story to Kindle, I thought that would light a fire under me, and it hasn't really. The stories, it's a group of perhaps 10 to 12 short stories that I've had in my head for a long time. And a couple of them I've actually written, and a couple more I've actually got started on. But most of them are still just living in my head. And just can't seem to find the impetus to come out and say hello to the world. And just lately, I find there's more philosophy kind of stuff running through my head than stories. Things like this this idea I have about, I guess you'd have to say it's about economics. That's an exciting topic. And there are four things that an enterprise requires to be accepted, to be successful. One of those is capital. You need money to buy stuff. One of them is labor. You need people to do stuff. One of them is ideas. You need to know what it is you're going to do and how to adjust for changes. And then finally, you need leadership, which is different from ideas. A leader, a person might not have a single idea in their lifetime, but can be a terrific leader, just someone that people want to follow. Someone who can bring people together and keep people moving in the same direction. So that's a different set. That's not to say that the leadership, the leader and the idea, you know, leadership's and ideas couldn't come from the same place. They don't necessarily have to come from the same place. Just as capital and, say, leadership might come from the same place. They don't have to. So you got capital, labor, ideas, and leadership, and you need all four. You got to have all four. If you're missing one, it ain't going to work. But somehow, coming down the ages, capital has become more important than the other three. If you've got the money to drive the business, you suddenly become the most important person in that business, or satisfying your needs. You go in and you borrow money. A small business owner borrows money from the bank. And the bank makes goddamn sure that they're going to get their money back. And the reason most small businesses fail is because they can't make their payments to the bank. The bank simply won't relent. They have to get their money back. And this whoever it is that provides the money won't hang back and let a business become successful and then get their money back. It's just not done, because the money is the most important thing. Money makes the world go around, as they say. So labor first, they're the first to feel it, because they're the share that labor gets, you know, steadily decreasing. You can't argue that the share that labor sees has been steadily decreasing for at least 50 years, probably more like 100 years. And some would argue that it follows the decline of the labor movement. I'm not sure of that. I think in some ways it does, but then the labor movement today is a labor union is the same as a corporation. They don't have the good of their members at heart any more than the employing organization does. But I guess that's just crazy mud toe talking. Don't know, because, you know, I don't have the first idea how to fix that. I mean, you say, okay, workers at McDonald's should get $15 an hour. You know, I don't. You know, everybody needs to have a living wage. At the same time, I don't see how that model works, where you have burger flippers making $15 an hour. The money is not just a matter of, okay, we're going to place an arbitrary number on this minimum wage, and that's the way it's going to be until we decide to change it again. It's a matter of changing the system so that the necessary capital is extracted at appropriate points where capital can be rewarded, labor can be rewarded, ideas can be rewarded, and leadership can be rewarded without the four conflicting with each other. And it would take someone a lot smarter than me to figure that out. Plus the fact, you know, that the economic elite have things pretty much the way they want it now. You know, they're certainly not going to let go of it voluntarily. I apologize if my voice is kind of going in and out. I'm holding my phone in front of my face and I keep turning my head. Probably not. At certain points, I'm probably not talking into the phone anymore. There's something else I was going to add to that thought, and then I got into that little divergence about the phone, and I forgot what it was. Oh, you know, I'm continually looking for work because the job I do at the OSU Medical Center is highly stimulating. I love it a lot, but it's just not enough hours to pay my bills. And, you know, I look, you know, fast food places are always hiring. Not so fast food places are always hiring. Grocery stores are always hiring. The casino is hiring. And none of that is dishonorable labor. If you work hard and you have, you know, a purpose, there is honor in it. I just kind of feel like, I think I've said this a number of times, I feel like, you know, I'm capable of more. But on the other hand, you know, if I was working, say, in a grocery store, as a grocery store that was owned by the people who were operating it, and wasn't just one person in a big office somewhere, that we were all working together, or a restaurant, or anything like that, and we were working together and sharing in the profits, I would have no problem with doing that. I think the essential honor has been removed from labor by the hourly wage system that was imposed in part through the labor union, through the labor movement, which, you know, served the purpose that it served back in the late 19th, early 20th century. But I think also laid the foundation for a transition in what labor means, and it's still sort of in progress. We don't know. Is it going to be? It seems right now like it's going to be a bad change. I don't think that's etched in stone yet. I think that management, labor, and ideas and all that could still come together and make something happen if properly motivated to do so. And is the preservation of society going to be enough of a motivation? I don't know, but I do know that my time is up. I want to thank you for putting up with me this evening. I will be back next week if you care to hear more. You're in the same place, the same time. And maybe I'll even have mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com up and running again so that you can send me your emails. But until that time, I hope you have a wonderful week. And stay safe. Good night.